Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And you can always call that number, 504-260-1870, or text it. And with that, we welcome in John Alzheimer. How you doing, John?
I'm good, Tommy. This is the fastest hour on radio when we start talking about credit.
It really is, and John says that because people wait, and then at the very end of it, we get flooded with questions, and it's too late, and we can't get to them. So that's why I encourage you to call in now at 504-260-1870 or to text in 504-260-1870 and get your question in. John, I guess, first of all, if somebody finds themselves after the hurricane, the deductible is high, they have to come out of pocket to pay to get their house fixed and to get it livable. How do you go? What's the best thing to do if you have debts that you can't pay, or to protect your credit rating as best as you can?
Well, right now we are still in the middle of the CARES Act amendments to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and that really has more to do with coronavirus than it does to do with any sort of natural weather-related disaster like a hurricane. However, it's applicable one way or the other. If you can work with your lenders to come up with what's referred to in the law as an accommodation, and that's basically some sort of, they're willing to cut you some slack on your minimum payments or your interest rates, or even, you know, defer payments to a later date. If you're able to cut some sort of a deal like that with your lender, then you live up to your end of the bargain, which means that you're making whatever payment you agree to for this accommodation, then they're required to report you as being current to the credit reporting agency. And this is a really big deal for mortgages, for student loans, for auto loans, and for credit cards. And so really it's applicable across all forms of credit. But the accommodation is not automatic. You have to work with your lender. You have to talk to them and ask them if you can come to some sort of an arrangement temporarily until you can get back on your feet and start making payments under the normal terms of your promissory note or your cardholder agreement. And that's really the way I would suggest you start is if you ignore your lenders, you give them no choice other than to send you to collections and start suing you. So it's better to open up the line of communication.
And it's not a pleasant call to make. It's not a pleasant experience, but you got to do it. Sandra from Covington, good morning. Thanks for calling. You are on the fastest hour in radio with John Alzheimer, credit expert.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about buying a car with your credit. Like, you have good credit, but how many times should they run your credit in order to get, like, the least APR.
The best deal. Yeah, the best deal. Right? That's right. Tommy, I love this question because this happens all the time when people go out and look for autos. So what she's referring to is kind of informally in my world referred to as shotgunning, which means you go to a dealership and you talk to the finance and insurance manager, or the F&I person is what they're called. And you ask them to see if they can arrange some sort of financing. And what a dealership will generally do is they usually have relationships with multiple lenders, either local lenders or national lenders or both. And they will essentially farm out your credit report to multiple lenders to see what type of offers they're going to get back from them for what's called indirect financing. So you could go to a Ford dealership and end up with a loan from Chase, for it just that's just how it works. So, Sandra, I wouldn't worry so much about how many times, because the way that FICO's credit scores work is they actually have this kind of protective logic built within them that can tell when someone is rate shopping. So if you're out there looking for the best deal on an auto loan or a mortgage or a student loan, and lenders repeatedly pull your credit reports in a fairly compressed time period within 30 days, then all of the inquiries that are on your credit report are going to be considered one, because they're essentially the reason they're doing is because you want one loan, not 10 loans. So the scoring systems are actually sophisticated enough to see past the multiple inquiries. If I were you, a good deal on for a new car right now is around 3 or 4%, 0% if it's a captive lender, if you've got good enough credit. So I would expect that type of deal if you've got really, really solid credit scores.
Okay. And what about if you, Capital One, they have like the pre-qualify?
So you could actually go to some lenders and ask them to pre-qualify you, and then you could actually show up at the dealership with your financing already in place. You limit yourself to one lender in that scenario, and so you're not going to know if Chase will give you a better deal, or if Bank of America, or U.S. Bank, or any of the other multiple auto lenders. But certainly some people can make the choice to pre-qualify with a credit union or a bank, and essentially walk into the auto dealership already pre-approved for credit, and you don't even need to worry about dealing with them to arrange financing. One way or the other, if you've got good credit, banks are throwing money at people right now because they want to lend. And so if you've got FICO 720 and higher for auto lending, you're in the sweet spot, and you should expect some sort of a killer deal from whatever lender you're working with.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Sandra. Yes, what are you looking at? The big Mercedes? What are you getting? Range Rover? What you got?
Well, it's actually for my daughter.
Okay.
She's looking for a car.
Go with something safe.
No, she's not getting a Mercedes.
Thank you, Sandra. Have a good day, all right? Thank you. John, you know, I've done a lot of car remotes at different dealerships throughout the years, and one thing I know is that usually the best salesman, and that's why I'm pretty picky about who I endorse, the best salesman at a car dealership is often the finance guy, the one you do your business with at the end of the, or woman that at the end of the transaction. Has there ever been occasion, or do you have to protect yourself from shady people who you would qualify for 0% financing, but they try to bump you up to a higher payment, and in actuality, they're deceiving you? And do you understand what I'm saying? Where they're saying, well, you don't qualify.
Yep.
So how do you protect yourself from that?
Yeah, and you're right. And a dealership is compensated based on that margin spread. So, you know, the bigger interest rate they can get you to pay, the better it's going to be for them. So this is why it is so important to not ignore your credit, right? If you walk onto a, which is why your prior caller is doing the right thing by doing some research before she starts doing some shopping. If you walk onto a car dealership without having any idea what kind of credit report or credit score you have, you're just opening yourself up to be abused and to be taken advantage of. If in auto lending, unlike mortgage lending and unlike credit card issuing, 720 and higher, I know you heard me say that, and that there was a reason why, that if you look at the best published interest rates for auto loans, for new auto loans, whatever the time, for whatever the period, 36, 48, 60 months, 72 months, it doesn't matter. If you've got FICO 720 or higher, the best average interest rates are for that particular group of consumers. Now, 720 goes all the way to 850. So there's a humongous kind of swath of scores that would get the best deal. But if you walk onto a dealership and you have no clue what your credit scores are, then how in the world are you going to know whether or not to expect the best deal or something other than the best deal? Auto lenders can get you look, auto lenders fashion themselves to be almost like magicians, meaning that they can get you financed if you've got credit scores down on the 500s. They may just ask you to put 50% down and pay 17%, but they think they can get you financed. So I always, always, always tell consumers, before you go shopping for anything, including autos, is pull your credit report so you see what the lender is going to see before they see it. And you'll know when you walk onto the dealership or onto the lot, if someone's throwing 6 and 7% at you and you know you've got FICO 750, then they're trying to take advantage of you. If you've got 750 and they're talking about 1.9% or 2.9%, you know that they're in the ballpark, because that's the kind of a deal you should be getting right now with those types of scores.
All right, thank you, John. Quick break, then we're back. It's the fastest hour in radio that we spend with John Olzheimer, credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax. Any questions or comments about credit scores, about getting your kids starting building their credit early, navigating your credit report, 504-260-1870. Tommy Tucker back in a flash here on WWL. 28, Tommy Tucker, WWL. It is the fastest hour in radio. John Olzheimer, our guest, our friend, good friend, credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax, navigating you through credit score basics. Hang on, because at the end, before we go, John will tell you how you can pull your credit reports, and it's free and it's reputable, and how many you get to do and what'll hurt your credit and what won't. But between now and then, it's your questions and comments at 504-260-1870. My 30-year-old son says this text has paid off his car loan and has only used a debit card. Boy, these texts, you got to keep them short if you can, or call in. And has only used a debit card until now. He has a credit score that is in the 600s. Last month, he got a credit card to help boost his credit rating. Is there anything more he can do?
Well, and that's the dilemma, you know, when you rely on debit and prepaid debit and different, those are essentially plastic versions of the old paper checks that, you know, people from my generation used to use. So you don't really build credit by using things like that, because they're not extensions of credit. You know, especially for young people, you know, you don't get a score of 800 when you're 21 just because you all of a sudden are starting to use credit. That's something that you've got to build over time. Just like, for example, a resume, it just takes time to build those things up. You know, paying off loans, using credit cards responsibly, keeping balances very low relative to the credit limits. These are things that over time that's the menu or the recipe to earn and maintain a great credit score. There's some things you can control, Tommy. You can pay your bills on time. You cannot get into a bunch of debt. There's also some things you can't control. Like, you can't control the age of your credit report. You can't control how many accounts you have, especially if you're new to credit. You can't just snap your fingers and have a five-page credit report with three decades of experience. That's going to take time. So there's certain things that are actionable, and certain things that you're just going to have to wait. And as time goes on and you earn better credit, then your credit score is going to, it's like insurance, right? I mean, you can't rent a car until you're 25. It takes forever to build a reputable insurance profile. So these are the types of things that you should start working on as soon as you possibly can. That does include, you know, getting one or two credit cards. It doesn't mean getting into credit card debt, but it does mean that you're supposed to be able to show that you can use credit responsibly, and the credit scoring system is going to reward you accordingly. Once you start, you know, when you have a 10, 15, 20 years of history under your belt, then you're going to start seeing your credit scores cap out higher than they would when you're, for example, 18 years old or 22 years old, because you're simply not going to have many years of credit experience. And so you should be reasonable with your expectations. You don't need an 850 to be able to get credit. The average credit score in the U.S. right now is about 711. So anything above or near that is going to put you at average. And generally speaking, people consider 700s or higher to be pretty good.
All right, to Tracy we go. Hey, Tracy, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
My question revolves around the different credit agencies. My credit score between the different ones there's a 30-point difference. And I'm wondering how or why, because they all have the same information.
Yeah, so there's three credit reporting agencies. Well, there's actually dozens, but there's three that we care about. Equifax, which is here in Atlanta. There's TransUnion, which is in Chicago. And then there's Experian, which is in Southern California. The information on the three is generally similar, but it's pretty uncommon that it's identical. And even if you have the same account information on all three of the reports, they don't necessarily update at the same time. So you may have one that updates at the beginning of the month, one that updates in the middle of the month, et cetera. So even though you have the same account information, the information about those accounts may not necessarily be identical across the three. Having said that, there are literally dozens and dozens of different credit scores that are in commercial circulation today, and they're all different, which means that they're not going to gin out the same score, even if you did have the same exact credit report information. A 30-point difference across credit bureaus is really not that uncommon. It's very, very uncommon that you see people with the same score across the three credit bureaus, but they're usually what I call directionally similar, meaning you should not have, for example, you know, FICO 800 at Equifax and FICO 500 at TransUnion. That's a wildly different risk profile. But generally speaking, they should be similar because they should tell roughly the same story about you. What I would do if I were you, and this is a strategy that I always tell consumers to employ if they can, is find out which credit bureau has your highest score and then use lenders that use that credit bureau, because then you're always putting your best foot forward. And, you know, if that means, TransUnion, if they have a score that's generally higher than the other two, then ask your lender before you apply. Hey, who do you, you know, I live in Louisiana. Who do you use for your credit reports for people who live in Louisiana? If they say TransUnion, boom, you know, you're going to be putting your best foot forward the next time you apply for something with them.
All right.
Okay. Typically, Experian has been the highest. TransUnion has been the lowest.
Okay. And so there you go. I mean, that's and so now you know what your strategy is, right? I mean, if you're working with lenders that use TransUnion as the primary bureau, you know, hey, they're going to see my lowest score of the three. And that may mean that you're going to have to choose to do business with a different lender. Look, there's like 10,000 lenders in this country, right? And there's no rule that they all have to use TransUnion as the primary bureau and Equifax as the secondary and Experian as the tertiary. So it's really a matter of you just simply asking them, hey, look, I want an auto loan, or hey, look, I want a credit card, or I'm thinking about applying for a personal loan. Who do you pull as your primary credit bureau for people who live where I live, and see what they say, and then let your fingers do the walking to the next one if they're not going to see your best score.
Thank you, Tracy. Appreciate the call. More when we come back. A text question next that we'll answer is, I had a credit score of 800, but I missed an interest payment of $12. My score dropped to 755. How long is it going to take to get back to 800? And will a lender hold that against me? You'll find out when we come back. 9:35, 25 before 10. Time for traffic now on WWL. All right, 9:42, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Tuesday, October 19th, day 51 of Ida Recovery, the fastest hour in radio. John Alzheimer, our guest, credit expert, formerly of FICO and Equifax. And before we went to the break, I read a text about I had a credit score of 800, missed what looked like an interest payment of $12, score dropped to 755. How long would it take to get back to 800, and will a lender hold that against them?
Well, geez, that just underscores the importance of making your payments on, right? I mean, always making your payments on time. 755 is still an elite credit score. Obviously, it's not an 800. Generally speaking, the isolated low-level delinquencies, like if that was reported as being late, it was likely reported as being a 30-day late payment. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to get it caught up. It's called curing. So you're going to want to cure the account. And then that 30-day late payment will drop into the historical 30-day. There's an 84-month grid on a credit report, which is 7 years. And that 30-day late payment, month over month, is going to start to age. Once that late payment hits 12 months, then it's likely, even though it'll still cosmetically be on your credit report, the effect of the late payment will be almost entirely gone, unless you keep doing it. And so, if the lender will not agree to remove it, you can certainly ask for what's called a goodwill deletion. There's no requirement for them to do so, and that doesn't work very often. So I don't want to set an expectation that it's going to work, but you can certainly ask for the goodwill deletion. And if they delete it, then obviously no harm, no foul, because your credit score will recover fully immediately. But otherwise, unfortunately, you're going to have to live with a slightly lower score for the next 12 months. And just, you know, I guess the lesson learned to set up auto debits or auto payments, especially for the really low dollar minimum payments that are easily missed because they're kind of small and they fly under the radar, but they're still really important. Now, I can tell you this, that I know people are probably like, I can't believe it. 45 points for one missed payment. that's really not that uncommon. The higher your credit score is initially, the more impact something like that is going to have. Think of when you kind of twist a rubber band and you keep twisting it, the tighter and tighter and tighter it gets, the harder it is to keep spinning it. But if you barely let go, boom, it's going to unravel really quickly. That's how credit scores work. The higher your score, the harder it is to get it even higher because you have so few points left to achieve. But doing something silly like missing a payment or having a collection hit your credit report or maxing out a credit card, that's when those types of things are going to be really impactful to the score. So again, underscore the importance of setting up automatic payments. And so this kind of thing doesn't ever happen again.
My credit card is due today and I damn near forgot. I'm glad we took that text. Next up, Tim is, tell me in my ear real quick, Sam on the North Shore. Hi, Sam, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Hi, yes, I was wondering if there's anything that a 17-year-old can do to get started building credit.
Yep, there is. And kudos to you for thinking about it now. There's nothing better than starting your quote-unquote adult life with at least some sort of established credit. So, you know, of all the things you have to worry about as a young adult, that's one of the things you can kind of put behind you and not have to worry about it. The methods to establish credit as a young person really haven't changed that much over time. You know, I'm in my early 50s, and my father added me as an authorized user on one of his credit cards when I was in high school. And so I had this account on my credit report even before I was 17. And it helped. That was my first account. It helped me to establish a credit report. And once I started to build my own credit, meaning accounts that were in my name, then I was able to have him remove me as the authorized user. And then, you know, it was almost like taking the training wheels off of a bicycle. Mm-hmm. That's one way of doing it. It's a very common way of doing it. Another way is what's called a secured credit card, meaning that you make a deposit with a bank or a credit union, and they give you a credit card with a credit limit equal to your deposit. It's a very low limit type of a credit card because no one's going to give, you know, $10,000-$15,000 to a bank just to get a $10,000 or $15,000 credit limit. That's silly. But usually $300 to $500, it'll get something positive on your credit reports. Keep making your payments on time. Eventually the bank will convert it to an unsecured card. They'll give you the money back and then you'll be off and rolling just like you, if you were to open a credit card, you know, as an adult. The last option, which flies under the radar, and I don't understand why, because it's a really good option, is called a credit builder loan. They're very common with credit unions if you have a relationship with a credit union. They're very low dollar loans, usually between $500 and $1,000. They've got a very short payback period, usually 6 months to a year. They open up an account for you. They actually keep the money. They don't give you the money. You make your payments after a year. They report all your payments to the credit reporting agencies. It helps you to build credit. Once you get done making all your payments, they actually give you all of the money plus any interest you've accrued. And then you not only have a small emergency fund established, but you also have 12 months of positive history on a credit report. So I love the credit builder loan option. So there are three pretty common options for you.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Thanks for calling, Sam. No, not Sam. Joseph from Lafayette, Tim. Hey, Joseph, good morning. You're on WWL with John Alzheimer.
Thank you, Tommy, for taking my call. I'm retired. Everything's pretty sound financially. Own my own home, had two vehicles paid for, everything's paid for. All we have is two credit cards left, and we only use them if we're on traveling or we need it. So I was surprised. I had a card the other day. I got something in the letter. Had a card since 1992, and they dropped us. And the reason they dropped us, well, they claimed on the letter that was a credit issue. So I called the people in Atlanta. They gave me that number to Atlanta. I called them. The lady's telling me, you really have no issues. I believe they dropped you because I hadn't used the card in 24 months. So I've had the card since 92, no issues, but they dropped me because I hadn't used it in 24 months. So my question is, why didn't they just, in the letter, say, you haven't used your card enough, we dropped you? Why go through this credit humbug, and when I called the people, they didn't even back it up?
Well, welcome to the ruthless world of lending, where just because you have 3 decades of experience with a bank, it doesn't mean that they won't drop you, you know, after 24 months. So the reason that it was disclosed to you that your credit report was part of the basis for their decision, they're actually required to. So it's not, I don't know if it's like a shell game type of thing. There's a requirement in one of the federal laws regarding credit. It's called the Fair Credit Reporting Act. It's like the Bible in my world. That requires that a lender disclose to you what credit report they pulled your report or what credit bureau they pulled your report from if they take any sort of an adverse action against you. And so they actually required to name the credit bureau. So that doesn't surprise me. The other issue, which is the real reason why I think you called in, is that, you know, how in the world or why in the world would a credit card issuer drop you after decades of good experience after 24 months of it's called inactivity. Believe it or not, that's not uncommon. There's two things that will generally happen for when someone has long periods of inactivity is they'll either A, close your account, which is what happened to you, it sounds like, or B, they'll adjust your credit limit downwards to be more in line with your usage patterns. So you could certainly call them and ask them to reconsider to the extent that you want to, or if you even need the card, or you can take your business elsewhere and open a new card with a competing card issuer. If you've got good enough credit, then I'm quite certain they'll be happy to have your business. What I would suggest you do, and when people ask me, how do I get around this, is I tell them to put their credit cards kind of on a revolving door type of strategy. So don't ever let your cards go dormant for an extended period of time, because you're giving the credit card issuer the incentive to either close your account or to lower your credit limit. So do stuff that's like almost immaterial, like fill up your car, pick up your dry cleaning, you know, pay for your grocery, something that you're going to do anyways, but just kind of revolve your credit card. And so none of them have any extended periods of inactivity, and there's really no incentive in those scenarios for them to either drop you or close or reduce your credit limit. So sorry that happened to you, but if you've got good enough credit, trust me, there are credit card issuers that will line up to have your business.
All right, in the time that's left, John, let's tell people how to check their credit and the best way to do it.
Yeah, so and right now is a really good time to do it, Tommy. The federal law gives everybody in this country the right to one free credit report every 12 months, and that's been the law since 2003, so 18 years. However, the credit reporting agencies have kind of changed their policies with respect to free credit reports, and they're now allowing consumers to access their credit reports for free once a week if you choose to be that voracious of a consumer of your own credit reports. Mm-hmm. But there's only one place where you can do that, and that's annualcreditreport.com. So number one, don't misspell that. Get it right, annualcreditreport.com. And two, you're not going to need a credit card because it's free pursuant to federal law. So if you find yourself on a website where they're asking you to give a credit card or some sort of method of payment, then you're on the wrong website. So okay. It's annualcreditreport.com, free credit reports every week through April of next year.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time as always. It is the fastest hour in radio. And I'm sorry if we didn't get to y'all, but we'll have John on again. We'll ask him to come back. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Tommy. Have a good one.
You too, John Alzheimer, credit expert. Taking a break, coming back, finding out what Newell Norman's got planned for us today here on WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.